I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up goodbye.
And Carl Wilson of the Beach Boys. Mike Love here. Carl sings the verses in Good Vibrations. Just a gorgeous voice. And to think that the first few years of the Beach Boys' career, Carl didn't sing any lead. He was just in the background. You put him forward and, you know, he comes up with a gorgeous line like in God Only Knows. And what a great kind of R&B turn on Darlin' from the Beach Boys. Carl Wilson died on this day in 1998 at the young age of 51 after a long battle with lung cancer. By the end, he was still touring with the Beach Boys, but so energy depleted that he would sit during the course of a show, still singing pretty well right up until the end. Lead vocals on the one we just heard, Good Vibrations, God Only Knows, I Can Hear Music, Darlin', many more, and for a few years there was the heart and soul of that band. We did a deep dive on the Beach Boys on Political Beats for a National Review, and the stuff, you know, the late 60s, early 70s era when Brian was not there, and the band needed someone to step forward and be a leader. It was Carl. That's why you had the Carl and the Passions album in the early 70s, because he meant so much to that band. Great musician, taken way too young. Carl Wilson, dead on this day at the age of 51 back in 1998, which means he's been gone for 22 years. My goodness. All right. Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. As you might know, if you've been with me before, yeah, I love music. Very passionate about it. And so we share that with you. What I fill in going back in music to find out birthdays, anniversaries, death days, number ones on this day, etc. Do them for you throughout the program. So the Democrat caucus in Iowa, we might have final results before the New Hampshire primary. That'd be something, huh? Results still trickling in. And by the way, well, I'm going to make a note here so I can remember to come back to a point I want to make. But I'll give you the numbers first. Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders still neck and neck in the Iowa caucus. Almost all the vote counted. 97% of precincts reporting. Buttigieg with 26.23% of the state delegates, 26.06% for Sanders. There's like a 4-delegate difference. It's nothing. And on the first choice results, Bernie Sanders leads, which is essentially the popular vote total. This, of course, delicious from the party demanding the destruction of the Electoral College to move to a straight, popular vote democracy. But in Iowa, the delegates are not awarded, apportionately to exactly the popular vote, the first choice vote. Different story, different day. Elizabeth Warren, third at 18% of the state delegate count. Joe Biden, fourth at 16%. Amy Klobuchar at 12%. Those huge technical problems earlier in the week. Although, can it be called a technical problem if you haven't tested what you've put in place, which apparently was the case? I'm not so sure about that. Very close at the top. And what Iowa normally does is help to winnow the field. That's just not going to happen this time because of the delayed results. No one is going to drop out until they know exactly what happened in Iowa. And by that point, it's just about time for New Hampshire. So everyone's going to stay. In terms of raw votes, Bernie Sanders has the lead in Iowa by about 2,500 votes. And no one kind of gets that post-Iowa kiss, the post-Iowa bounce, because nobody knows who won Iowa, even at this point. The clear loser, it appears, is Joe Biden. Joe Biden didn't win Iowa, didn't come in third in Iowa. He came in fourth in Iowa, and polling from New Hampshire yesterday also shows him coming in fourth place. Look, he still has this sort of bulkhead of the African-American vote, which has not deserted him during this entire primary process, even though there were candidates in the race who, I mean, c- Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, you would think it might be possible that they would siphon off some of that support from African Americans. Joe Biden has held that very firmly, strongly. That could be a big part of a potential South Carolina comeback for Joe Biden. But these results are really bad for Joe Biden. Really bad. And same thing for really Elizabeth Warren, because I don't know where she wins. She's not going to win New Hampshire. And I don't know where she wins or begins to get momentum, if not in Iowa. Her constituency is so narrowly focused among like hyper college educated white voters, like white voters with master's degrees. That's Elizabeth Warren's constituency. There's just not a ton of those people. And she has had some very big missteps over the past couple of weeks. We hear now that she's canceling media buys in various areas in Nevada and South Carolina. We also heard there were some fundraising issues for Elizabeth Warren. So I don't know if we'll get this winnowing out of the field until maybe after New Hampshire. But then again, maybe we won't, because look at the billionaires in the race. Look, you stop running for president when you run out of money. That's why you stop running for president 95% of the time. Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg are not running out of money anytime soon. And these results from Iowa are the best possible for those two guys, because their strategy is to pump these early contests and to focus on the bigger states and hope once we get there, there are still enough candidates to split the vote enough ways that they can find the support level to be 1, 2, 3 in the race. This is the best news possible for Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer. Yeah, it could be a real toss-up for some time. And ever so sadly, just so terrible, that immense amount of money could be spent in these primaries on the Democratic side that will not be spent on a general election race against President Trump. Wouldn't that be just so terribly awful? The longer the chaos runs, the better it is for President Trump. And that's a very simple point to make. More on this Democratic caucus, the Iowa caucus, later on in the show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. This is the Steve Group.
Protecting Michigan's waters is critically important, and so is providing the energy that fuels Michigan's quality of life. A tunnel for Line 5 is the right solution. This underground concrete tunnel housing Line 5, deep under the Straits of Mackinac, means multiple layers of protection and virtually no chance of a leak into the Great Lakes. It also eliminates the possibility of an anchor strike, and it means no interruption to the energy that Michigan needs. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Line 5 Tunnel.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MAB.